something for the weekend. It is Ireland's Classic Hits. And on the 15th of February 2020, I last had Alwyn Boyle in studio. And to be honest, Alwyn, I think you were the last human being I had a face-to-face interview with before the whole world shut down. So it's good to have you on. God. How are you?
Good, yeah. Well, I'm actually exhausted right now today. It's been a hectic few days in my life, but yeah, it's lovely to talk to you. Obviously, I'm not in there. I'm on the phone, but
Well, I'm not in there either. I'm at home, working at home the last year, so there we go. So just to remind people, Alwyn, you spoke to us a year ago because you wanted to have a baby by yourself, and so many women are doing this and looking into it at the moment. And I would imagine because of the past year of people not being able to get out dating and all that, the pressure is on a little bit more for a lot of women as well. If the clock, it's a biological clock, is ticking away, and more women are looking into having a baby on their own. So just over a year ago, just remind us what you did.
Just over a year ago, it was actually my niece. I remember talking about my niece being putting it into my head that, Alwyn, you're not getting any younger. And I thought I was invincible, and I was going to be able to have a baby whenever I wanted. Unfortunately, I'd never been in a relationship that it even was in my mind at that time. I'm coming up to the dreaded 40 in September, so time was kind of running out. When I was younger, I'd always envisioned that I'd foster or adopt anyway, so I never really thought about getting my eggs checked or anything like that. But according to my niece, I needed the push, which I'm glad I did, but I wish she'd probably asked me 10 years earlier. Because when I went in to have tests done, it turned out that I only had one active follicle and that my egg count was very, very low. And the option I was going to try first was IUI. Personally, like, IUI to me, I felt like if my chances were so low, it was a big financial dint, but it was worth one go. I have so much admiration for women who go through many, many IUIs. I think that it's not something I would have been able to do because I had known in my head that the chances were so low. But I do find, which is unfortunate, women are kind of pushed into that in the Irish system when it comes to fertility with women. They obviously want to try the non-invasive ways first in the hope that it works for women. Yeah. Unfortunately, IUI didn't work for me. It became quite costly. You know, they say it's the cheapest option, but I think if anyone, I do have my Instagram page, and I always say to people, I do concentrate a lot on the financial side of it because I'm doing it on my own. But I think even as a couple, you have to know your budget and know when, you know, you have to stop and realize there's different roads you need to go down because, you know, you're given a price. It's never that price. That is the price. That is the minimum you are going to be charged. Yeah. I can come into that a bit later anyway.
Yeah, because you mentioned to us, I think it was about all that there was blood tests and there was medication and there was everything was on top of what you were paying. Yeah. How much would you say you paid around that time about a year ago?
Well, because I'm only back from treatment, actually, having pre-treatment there. I only came back yesterday. So what is today? Today, I'm here. I'm home. This is my second day home. So when I was over there, I was kind of working out what I'd done before I got over to Greece. And it looked like I had spent just under 20,000. Now, if you work into account that that's only me doing IUI, trying to foster, trying to adopt, I kept all of that paperwork separate. Everything, medication, appointments, consultations, acupuncture, everything. So someone might go, she didn't spend that amount of money doing IUI. You do. When you have to do every single appointment, that's how much it can come down to. So if you imagine a couple or a single person doing IVF, their treatment is starting on one round at nearly 10 or 11,000.
Yeah. So you know? When we spoke to you, Alwyn, you were waiting to find out if it had worked and if you were pregnant. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it didn't work.
Did you feel after that? Were you ready to just give up? You were very deflated at the time, I think, weren't you?
I was really deflated because I'd been refused fostering as well. I applied for fostering first. My thought process had always been, why would I bring another child into the world when I could help a child? And I had the ability to help a child. And I was refused fostering. They said because I was working at the time, but I worked for myself. Like, I run a stage school.
You work with children.
All I know is kids. Yeah, I worked as a clown doctor in Crumlin. And as I'm self-employed, I could have chose my own hours. So I actually think I was more affected by not being accepted as a foster parent in Ireland than I was about my IUI failed attempt. So I then started looking into adoption and I registered with Helping Hands. So that's where that money kind of links in as well, that money that I had spent. And I had a lovely consultation with Helping Hands. That must have been, I'd say, about 7 or 8 months ago now. And I'm still waiting for my phone call back from TUSLA to be accepted onto their introduction into adoption. I still haven't even been given a response to that, to adopt within Ireland or abroad, because you can't actually go further with the adoption process unless TUSLA have given you like an adoption passport.
Okay.
And all of that, obviously, it just adds up. And that's actually where I was more mentally and physically drained from it all. I was trying so hard. And then because of, I went back onto my Instagram and was telling my story about how I'd been affected. And actually, some lovely people just got in touch and were like, don't give up, you can do this. So I decided to change from where I had had my IUI treatment to another clinic, which I was recommended from my GP as more of a non-profit organisation. So their success rates would be very good. So I wasted no time. And about 4 weeks ago, I went to the clinic and I had the tests had to be all redone again. So that obviously is included in the money, the consultations, the bloods, the MRIs, everything had to be done again. And it came back that my egg count had dropped again. Okay. And that my left follicle was just not working. They said to me that I would have to go down the road of double donor, that they wouldn't be happy with me doing IVF with my weight. And then they said they still wouldn't be happy to carry out double donor for me because of my weight. Now, I took this really hard. Like I took it really put me in a really low, low place. Not from the consultant's fault. I think that she couldn't have been anything but honest. She was lovely. My BMI, she needed my BMI to be back down to 35 by the time, and I was at 40, and by the time I'd get to there, that would take me months. And I didn't have months to lose that weight. From a very young age, I had always been heavy. Over a number of years, I'd lost 8 stone. So my weight had always plateaued.
Yeah.
For the last year, then with COVID, obviously, as long as a lot of other people, I put on weight.
Oh, and you wouldn't recognise me. I'm huge now. You should see me.
Oh, stop. Yeah, yeah. Look, it just, you know, so I literally took a really bad nosedive then, personally. Became really low for a few days. But thanks to my Instagram again, and the people that followed me told me not to give up and told me about this clinic over in Athens in Greece. So 2 weeks ago, I had a consultation with this lady called Penny, and she has changed my life. She's amazing. She looked at the problem but found a solution all the time. So I wasted no time and I flew over to Athens on Thursday just gone, and I flew back. I was actually meant to fly over this weekend and come back on Wednesday, and I ended up being like, nah, I'll just go. So I went over on Thursday, arrived late on my own, which I was dreading, and I was going over to do embryo adoption. That was what we decided we were going to do. Okay. Now, when you look up embryo adoption, it's very different in many different countries, but the be-all and end-all of embryo adoption, it's like a double donor process, except the embryo has already been created and it's frozen. So the embryo that I would be adopting would be from someone, male and female, between the age of 25 and 30.
So it's ready to go.
And yeah, it's frozen and ready to go. But I wasn't ready to go. You know, my body wasn't ready according to the clinic. It's called Serum and Penny. So she initially had said to me that you'd have your next cycle and you'd send over a sample from your cycle. And I was like freaked out by that. I thought it was gross. So I was like, no, I'm just coming over. I'm coming over.
Yeah.
And she was like, really? And I said, yeah, I'll fly over Thursday. And I actually wasn't due my cycle to start for another 19 days. And it actually came 2 days before I was to fly. And I thought that was it. Everything was ruined. And I thought I was completely, after messing everything up, I was just an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
Thursday came. I flew over. I arrived late Thursday night to a hotel in the middle of Athens. The hotel was absolutely amazing. The staff were lovely. Walked in and a lady that was there had been following my story and she'd been waiting to talk to me.
Oh.
To make me not feel like I was on my own.
Yeah.
And I knew then I was in good hands. And then I started my fasting. Got up in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was back up and they collected me from the hotel, brought me to the clinic where I met Penny. And I decided because of my weight, well, Penny decided because of my weight, she'd like to do diabetes tests, which they never did over here. They never mentioned it. They never did anything. She was also going to recheck my thyroid. She was going to do everything. At this point, I have not paid for anything.
Right, okay, you know, yeah.
The consultation was free. Obviously, I paid for my flights, my accommodation and stuff like that. So we decided we'd do the diabetes test. So that meant that from 7 in the morning, for every half hour, for 2.5 hours, they would take blood. So they did that. And then I went in and met Penny and we had a chat. And she's, the way I could describe it, she's like a mother to thousands of people. It was amazing. I felt unbelievable with her. I felt like she spoke to me like a human that didn't understand terminology. And I needed that because I was on my own. And even her room, she had pictures of all the babies that she had. And she, you know, I didn't get that at all over here. Over here, it was a business. Over there, this was her life. Her and her husband had set it up and he had passed away. And, you know, it's just, I just felt more, I felt safe and I was completely on my own. So anyway, then she transferred me over to the hospital where I had to have more bloods taken and I had to have an ECG and an echo. They were absolutely lovely to me. I couldn't have faulted them. There was no waiting time. I literally went from the clinic to the hospital. My appointments were done and then I was back in my hotel. And Greece was really strict, so I decided to fly home early. I actually only ended up going for 2 days. I was now going to have my hysteroscopy the next day, which would have been Saturday morning, and I was going to fly home after it because you couldn't go anywhere in Athens. You had to wear a mask everywhere, and I was on my own, and I just, I was like, I'll change my flight.
So what's a hysterectomy, Alwyn? I have no clue what that is.
Yeah, so a hysteroscopy over here would be like what we would see as a D&C. So it's when they go into your uterus, and I'm going to describe it the way Penny described it to me, which was amazing. So you've been given a little baby and you're going to bring your baby to your new home, and into your new home, you bring them into their new bedroom. You are going to make sure that you have that bedroom completely sanitized and cleaned, and the wallpaper is fresh and the bed is comfortable for the baby, and that the baby is going to feel snug. So that is your uterus. So in their hysteroscopy, it's a bit graphic, but what's amazing is they give you a DVD of it as well. And then they go through it all with you after your hysteroscopy. So basically what they found in my hysteroscopy was when they went into my uterus, the lining of my uterus was extremely thick, which meant that when the embryo would go into my body, that it would find it hard to stick within my uterus.
Okay, yeah.
So therefore they slit the uterus. And she said, just imagine you're gardening. You can't put seeds into the soil without opening the soil.
Yeah.
So that's what we do in your uterus. Nice. Also, you could see old blood cells that were dead. He removes all them off the wall of the uterus. Uh-huh. And then there's another test that I'm just waiting for results from. Now, she said to me it was extra money. Over here, I think it's something like €3,000. But over there, it was 550. And I took the hit. Like, I just said, I'll do it. I'm gonna throw everything at this. And it's called the Chicago test. So basically, this test is taken from a blood sample from your hysteroscopy, from your uterus. So if you have an infection in your throat or anywhere in your body, we all have these little white blood cells. And these little soldiers come out to protect us and they kill off the white blood cells. She needs to check in my uterus from the Chicago test that if a foreign body, which would then be the embryo, will the soldiers come out and kill the embryo because it's not mine?
Okay.
So she has to check the cells within the uterus. So I paid the extra money to have that done. But like, she's amazing. So I was going for embryo adoption and she said, I'm going to try everything for you. She said, I'm actually going to try fresh as well. So she's going to try a fresh transfer of my own egg, see if it takes. And if it doesn't take, then we go back to the frozen embryo.
So
but she really believes that I could try my one last egg. And she's willing to try it for me.
So there's options
now.
Now
I'm on medication. Oh my God. Like, there's so many options. Like, well, there's two, but I just can't explain the difference and the fear I had. Like, I'm really dizzy today now. I've lost a lot of blood in the last couple of days between blood tests and having my cycle and having the hysteroscopy. So I'm kind of like, I'm on like bed rest at home,
okay.
But I'm so glad to be at home. I don't know. Like, I feel like I love Ireland and I love flying back into Ireland and seeing like lovely Ireland, but it just breaks my heart that when I was over there, the amount of Irish women I met that have to go through this process.
Yeah.
I met so many Irish women over there, and there's so many Irish women on my Instagram that are traveling over there. It's such a shame we can't do it in this country.
What's the...
Well, they don't do embryo adoption over here at all.
Okay. What's the name of the clinic there, Alwyn? What's the name of the clinic in Greece?
It's called Serum, and it's in Athens in Greece.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one thing that I would love to get across there, like, I was talking to Penny, and because of COVID, they've been really badly affected by young donors. So they're basically, which I think is fascinating. Okay, do you know the way over here? Well, I don't know if you know, but over here, if I was to go with my double donor, you can go non-anonymous or anonymous. But for legal reasons, you have to know who the parents or the embryo parents are. Okay, you'd have to know who the donors were. Over in Greece, they don't allow that at all. It's completely anonymous. Now, I won't go into the story why, because it was horrific. There was court cases and everything she was telling me on why they kept it illegal in Greece. And it's very sad, but it's basically people who've donated coming back looking for their kids, even though they've been given, you know, so they don't allow them to know who I am or who they are to me.
Okay.
So that's fine. But unfortunately, because of COVID, the number of people transferring or giving up their eggs or their sperm donations has dropped dramatically. So without that, we mightn't be able to travel to get embryo adoption.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like now doing this offer for women who'd like to, now I'm not sure of the costings. I think you get paid. I've emailed her to ask more information in case anyone would like to be someone who does this, then they can get in touch and I can put them in touch with her. But basically what she's doing for women now is she will freeze your eggs if you donate some of your eggs. And then in a few years' time, because we're all having children so late, you can go back there and have your eggs back and you won't have to pay for it.
Wow.
Oh, she's unbelievable. Like, she's messaged me twice since I got home to see how my home, am I okay? And thanking me for meeting her and saying, I can see you with your little baby already. And it's so different. Like,
so really what's next now, Alwyn? So you're home now. What's going to be the next step?
So the next step is on the 3rd of, well, I start my medication. During the hysteroscopy, they also found a bacterial infection, which is really important to find because that also would mean that you could have an ectopic pregnancy. None of this stuff was found over here. I don't know how, but it wasn't. So I'm on medication for 10 days for that. I'm on probiotics and I'm on other hormonal medication. And then 3rd of May, I take an injection stimulant for the one egg that I have, my one and last egg that I have to stimulate that egg. And then when my cycle comes, I fly over and they try my own egg to see if they can put that with a donor, and then I would be carrying my own egg. If it doesn't work, then I stay for 2 more days and I transfer a frozen embryo, which would be someone else's egg and someone else's sperm.
If it is the second option, the frozen embryo, is that guaranteed to work then at that point?
No, nothing's guaranteed, unfortunately.
Yeah,
nothing's guaranteed. But even over there, like, embryo adoption is €3,000 for 2 embryos. Like, maybe 3 times less than here. If you were to go double donor over here, it's like 10,000, I think. And that's before medication. And double donor over there, well, for 2 rounds, it's like 6,000. Like, a lot of people would put 2 embryos in, but the chances of twins and triplets is really high.
Yeah.
But also the chance of getting pregnant is really high. But I'm definitely not going to do that. I'm definitely only going to go single embryo, whether an embryo of my own or an embryo of someone else's.
I can see you with a twin buggy, Alwyn. I don't know about that.
No, don't. My poor parents and family, I swear to God, I have had them up the walls for the last 3 days, being over and back in Greece in 3 days. I don't know what's going on with my life right now.
Well, I just think it's brilliant that, you know, even it's been a year since we spoke and you were so deflated the last time because you felt like there was going to be no hope. And you just keep on going. You are determined to make this happen, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I am determined to make it happen. And the way I look at it is, you know, this is probably my last shot because financially, what's the point in bringing a child in if I've nothing left?
Do you know
what I mean? Yeah. So I have to be realistic, but like, it's heartbreaking. As heartbreaking as it is for me, I was saying to a woman, she's like, I don't know how you're doing it on your own. I said, I don't know how you could do it with someone because I'd have them killed by now. Because when you're doing this, like, especially when you're in a foreign country, if you take a left and you're meant to go right, you've no one to argue with but yourself. And you're already so stressed and so upset that nothing's happening that you can only really fight with yourself. You know, I know, but it's fascinating to see the amount of women over there that are Irish and couples that are trying. And there's so many women doing it on their own. And I just wish our system would see how important it is for women to be looked after in this area. You know,
it should be like, free, though, shouldn't it? It really should be free. You shouldn't have to be paying.
It should be free.
I mean, how are you doing it, particularly during a pandemic where your stage school hasn't been open? And how are you managing all
everything's
it?
Been gone. Do you know how I'm managing? The credit union and really good family support. But in fairness, both of them can only last so long. So I need to be realistic and hope that my business will open up soon again in September. I will get my jobs back. But this is like a full-time job, but you're not being paid to do it.
You it's know? Just costing you. I know. Potentially, what date will we have more news?
Potentially, please God, hopefully, on the 3rd of May, after I take the injection, my next cycle will push forward and I fly over by the end of May. And by the middle of June,
we could have news one way or another.
Yeah, middle of June will be news either way.
You really need to make a film made about you or something.
I tell you, if people wrote a film about me, people are like, can you write a book? Can you just write a book of all the stuff? You know, it'd be a very interesting book. I'd love a ghostwriter if anyone wants to write my book.
Yeah.
I said to my sister only today, I went abroad to get my teeth done. I went abroad to try and have a baby. I've tried it at home. I've done the weight thing. I feel like, oh, Jade, someone throw me a freaking bone. Ideally, in a dream world, I would have loved to have met someone, been married and had the picket fence. But I have to say, I don't think I've ever been as proud of myself as I have been in the last 2 days for doing this on my own, because I suffer so bad with anxiety, but I didn't let it beat me. And, you know, if anyone ever wants to talk or ask anything about it, I will certainly talk about it. I have no problem. And I am so lucky that I have such supportive friends and family, and that's what you need. But the women who follow my Instagram have been amazing, because unless you're going through it, it's very, very, very hard to understand. So people shouldn't really have an opinion unless they're going through it, in my opinion. Be very careful what you say to women that are going through stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. And also, you don't mind talking about this, but there are other women who are more private about it. They don't they don't want people probing them about what's happening. And it's important to respect people's privacy as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Like, a lot of the women that would be talking to me, I don't share their story. Their business is their business. And a lot of people want to do it privately. A lot of people, single or couples, it's your own decision on what you want to do. For me, living on my own, my family being in Tipperary and I'm in Dublin, I've gotten a lot of support from it and it's helped me. But I'm a people person. I like to share my story, because I don't feel like I get all the answers all the time when I'm in the clinic. Some of it goes over my head. So when I put it on Instagram straight away, someone will clarify in case I took it up wrong. And I find that that helps me a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
No, I think you've been brilliant, because like the info that you're giving other women as well, that they, for example, when we spoke today, women might not have known about this clinic in Greece that you can go to. And there's so much information that you're helping other women with as well.
Yeah, well, and it's only because women helped me. And if they want to do it privately and help me, that's amazing. I just want to talk about it and, you know, not make it a taboo. And please God, if my baby is born and I have a baby, people are always saying, but will you tell them like it was an embryo adoption? What I decide to do at that point, I'll decide to do. But I do know that since the start of all this journey between the fostering and everything, that I've started a scrapbook. Every single letter, every appointment, everything that I have done is in that book. And maybe one day I'll just give that book to the baby or the child when they're old enough, because they weren't just a flash in the pan thought.
Oh, absolutely not.
Year-long process.
Absolutely not. It was like,
so
you've been thinking about this a
long
time.
That's probably the way I will deal with it.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a very much wanted baby, and I really, really hope that we'll have some good news. Will you give me a text and let me know how you get on, and then we'll follow up and find out how things are going?
Yeah, I will, definitely.
Oh, you're so good.
Yeah, and I'm now going to lie down again. I'm so dizzy.
I know, you're wrecked. God love you. No, it's not easy. It's not easy. And in some ways, maybe this is the good time to do it, because you're not running your business at the moment as well. Maybe this is actually almost a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. It's given me the time to do it. But it is crazy, like when you live on your own, like I'm in quarantine now for 5 days until I get a test. And then if that comes back clear after the 5 days, I'm allowed out of it. But like, I'm not joking with you. I have had, in 8 days, I've had 6 tests, all back negative, and I can't leave my house.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
And I've had, and I, and the only places I have to pay for them is Ireland.
Ah, yeah, of course.
You know,
you gotta laugh.
So there you go. Yeah. Well, now I'm going to start using the free walk-in service. I'm going to go for that one the next time because, you know, have to start ringing Mr. Credit Union again.
You're like an advertisement for the
credit
union.
Anyone wants to write my book for me.
I know. Yeah. You need to get going on that one. Absolutely. Well, listen, we'll follow you on Instagram. It is Ollie's Baby Wish. And I'm delighted that, you know, I thought maybe a year ago you might be closing down the account because you had kind of lost a bit of hope. But you're back. You're back up and running.
I'm back.
And we're going to watch the space. Thanks so much, Alwyn. And take care. Take a rest
no
now, won't you?
I will.
Cheers. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a million.
This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.